Welcome to the Take Six Podcast.
What is up, everybody? I know that it has been a very long time. You probably do not recognize this voice anymore, but how is it going? Welcome to the Take Six Podcast, and as always, thank you for listening. Thank you so much for listening. Callum Wise, my man, is my guest. As always, I'm Hunter Surplus. Callum, how's it going, my man? It's been a while.
Since the last time, I have three kids now. It's been a kind of like down time for sports. So I guess we kind of had a little reason to slow it down. But now that pretty much everything is just getting into it, like especially in October is when like the peak of sports, when everything's starting up and everything's finishing as well.
We're getting close to that beautiful weekend where every single sport is going to be played. We're getting real close to it, and I'm so excited for that. But obviously, before we get to that, there are some moments. Like you said, it's a slow time in the year for sports. But right around this time is when one of the most exciting things happens in the NBA. And it's more so for like the upcoming season in the NBA, and it's more so for the basketball fans who are kind of geekish and like to read a lot. But that is, if you guys don't know, it's the Sports Illustrated Top 100 list. And I know we're a little bit late. Right now it's Wednesday, September 18th. I'm pretty sure that it came out just about a week ago today. So it's Wednesday, September 18th. And we're just going to go over the top 100 in terms of how the Raptors are seated, what kind of stuff is going on there, whether we agree or disagree. And you guys can let us know what you guys think as well on Twitter or whatever. So Callum, we kind of discussed this at the top of the episode. We're going to start at the top. And you know, the four players that are on it are Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, Kyle Lowry, and Pascal Siakam. And we'll get into their rankings later. But Callum, all in all, without kind of giving away where these guys are ranked, are you happy with this list in terms of the totality of it, not just the Raptors?
For the Raptors, when I first saw their numbers, I was very happy with how they were ranked. Obviously not Kawhi, like Kawhi is not a Raptor anymore. And then I kind of like looked into the rest of the list, and I started from the bottom, so starting at number one, even though I probably should have started at number 100, but I just wanted to get right into the good stuff. But 1 through 10, I completely agreed with. Obviously, you can change a few in here and there, depending on your look on certain players, but those 10 should definitely be in the top 10. And then I think there are right ones and there are wrong ones. Like, we'll get into that more when we start looking through it, but I think it was 70% correct.
Yeah, and like I'm with you on that. Like, obviously nobody's gonna get it all right, and everybody has their own opinion on where guys should go. But to me, like, if it's like I think that this person should be number 35 and the Sports Illustrated, Rob Mahoney, he has it at, you know, number 36.
Yeah.
To me, it's not that big of a deal, but it's those ones where guys are, you know, five or six spots out of place or 10 spots out of place in my mind that kind of really grind my gears. And to me, there weren't that many of those in this. I think maybe Devin Booker was an example for me. I understand why they had him low, but I like Book. I like seeing him that high. I think Jason Tatum should have been lower than he was. I think Kevin Love should have been higher.
Ben Simmons.
That guy's a punk heffa. We don't need to talk about that guy. He can't shoot three-pointers. So, anyways, let's get into the Raptors discussion here, Cal. And like I said, we're going to start from the top. So, Number 80 is Serge Ibaka. So this one I am relatively okay with. How do you feel about this one?
I somewhat agree. I think if he kept his, like, how he was playing through the first half of the season, Then he would have been a lot higher. I mean, he couldn't have because we got Marc Gasol, so it makes sense that he kind of slowed down. And then, yeah, I think still making it to the top 100 and getting that 80 spot makes sense for him being a bench player. Like, he was a bench player because Marc Gasol was a starting guy for pretty much the remainder of the season going into the playoffs.
And that's going to continue. Like, he is going to be – he's still going to be coming off the bench this year. Like, there's – I don't think that – That's really gonna change much. But the thing with him is he still averaged 15 points per game this year, which is the most that he's averaged since joining the Raps. And I know you mentioned that kind of big push at the beginning of the season where he was going off. He was having 25 point games, 22 point games, all this kind of stuff. But he still was really good after Marc Gasol ended up joining the team. He still averaged, 12.6 points per game, since Marc Gasol joined the team, which is about his career average. But he was playing not necessarily more meaningful minutes, but his per 36 numbers were the same, if not better, after coming off the bench more frequently. 8.3 rebounds a game or 8.1, sorry, rebounds a game, which is the most that he's had since 2013-14, when he was that unreal guy in OKC. And his assist percentage was the highest that it's ever been by quite a big margin. I think it's almost like 4 or 5% that it's up by, which is crazy, which I don't know if that has to do with the system that he was in last year and kind of being able to rely on a guy like Kawhi Leonard, but he was passing the ball a lot more. He was picking his spots better. Maybe that's the kind of Marc Gasol influence that we're seeing from him. But if that can continue, I don't see why he shouldn't maybe be up a couple spots. He can be not obviously, like, this is a ridiculous comparison, but with the assist percentage that he has, and if he can kind of get the ball moving a lot better and kind of take on a Marc Gasol type role, not score as many points, but pass the ball a little bit more, be a bit of a ball handler, I don't see why not. However, he's 29 years old and he's kind of getting a little bit older, which is, obviously not good for a big man like Ibaka. And so above him were guys like Julius Randle and Yusuf Nurkic. So that's like just ahead of him. The two spots ahead of him were Julius Randle and Yusuf Nurkic. How do you feel about those guys being ahead of Serge Ibaka, Cal?
I think Nurkic could have been higher on the list, personally. He was really good. Obviously, him messing up his leg at the end of the season it hurt the Trailblazers a lot in that playoff run. But, yeah, I think those guys, at least Julius Randle, yeah, they're around the same level, I guess, in terms of what they do. Julius Randle, he averaged 21 points per game. Like, that's pretty good. And 8 rebounds, almost 9. He played for the Knicks, to be fair. So I think in terms of stats, then he was a little bit better than Ibaka, but Ibaka definitely did more in the season than Julius Randle.
Yeah, so I personally would say that Ibaka could be over both of those guys and maybe even Montrezl Harrell. I don't think Montrezl Harrell, but he could definitely be over Julius Randle and Yusuf Nurkic just based on his defensive presence. That, Julius Randle doesn't really have a defensive presence at all. And Yusuf Nurkic, while being relatively good, isn't the same level as an Ibaka. And I also think Ibaka, maybe doesn't put as much onus on the offensive end as maybe Julius Randle does, but it's not that big of a margin where you're going to be like, okay, I don't want to, I'd rather have Julius Randle out there than Ibaka. And the way that Ibaka played last year, a lot more in the paint because he was a true center, I think that's going to continue through this year. And it's going to just help him even more. He's going to get better high look opportunities, high percentage shots at the rim, and he's going to be taking less threes, probably you know, missing the ones that he does take. But sometimes he's a decent shooter, shooting around 30% from three. So like the threes that he does take, he can sometimes make, but I don't think that, I think 80 is a little bit too low for Serge Ibaka, just based on the guys that are around him, like Nurkic and Randall, and even Montrezl Harrell. Like, you could argue that he could be a little bit higher or a bit ahead of Montrezl Harrell in that sense. Do you want to move on, or do you have any more about Serge Ibaka?
Yeah, I mean, if you look right behind him, you have like two mainly defensive guys, like you were talking about, defensive presence. Like, he beat out Pat Bev and Marcus Smart, and Marcus Smart making it to he was in the Defensive Player of the Year, right?
No.
In finals?
No.
Wasn't he the third guy?
Yeah, he was the third guy.
Which didn't make any sense to me, but he still made it there. But yeah, those two are like defensive specialists. And like you said, Serge also is, I think the reason he beat those two out, he may not be as good as them defensively, but he still is a really good defensive presence. And he also is he can be offensive. And like you said, he has a very good, or he's learning to use his passing ability in a better fashion. So I think he definitely beats out those two. Definitely beats out Julius Randle. Nurkic, that's a tougher one. And then Montrezl Harrell, I mean,
I doubt that he beats out Harrell, but you could have an argument for it, least, I think.
Right?
Yeah. So Ibaka's eight spots ahead of JV. Do you agree with that? Or do you think JV should be closer to Ibaka's rank?
I mean, so like JV is he's a great offensive center, but I think that defensive presence just takes him over the edge. Like, if JV would have stayed, it wouldn't have been, I don't even think we would have won, because Gasol just like, he changed the dynamic of the team. Like you said, like, he had so much influence on Ibaka's play. Like, maybe not so much, but he definitely did have influence on the play of Ibaka. So I think, yeah, he deserves to be ahead of JV for sure.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing is, you look at JV's numbers in like those 19 games that he played in Memphis, and he pretty much averaged like 20 and 11 almost.
That's crazy.
I know, it's also Memphis where he's getting a lot of the touches and stuff, but still, like,
he had really good games.
Like 19.9 and 10.7 is a really good average. I mean, he only played 27.7 minutes. He was taking like almost double the amount of field goals per game, but still, like, it's pretty solid. It's cool seeing him do well. You know what I mean? It's a nice thing to see him do well. He could have been up a little bit higher, JV, but not much. His defensive ability is just not there, really, to be placed a whole lot higher, I don't think. Also, one more thing about Ibaka is that this year he's going to have a bigger role in the offense and the defense, obviously, in losing Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. But if he can kind of anchor down the defensive side when Marc Gasol is off the court, of course, if he can anchor that down, he might be a sneaky, I don't think it's going to happen, but like a sneaky all defensive team guy. If the Raptors have like a top five defense in the league or something, and Ibaka's holding down that second unit and playing some crunch time minutes there, he could be a sneaky all defensive team guy, maybe second team, potentially first team, but we'll see. And I think him having a bigger role is going to help him in terms of his ranking in improvement, maybe over as the season goes on. I think he'll probably end up a little bit higher than 80 once, you know, the end of the season comes, I guess. So now we'll move on to Marc Gasol, our other big man, I guess, our other decent big man. And he is number 42 on the list. Cal, is this right about where you thought he was going to be?
Yeah, I think him rating, that is a really good rating for him. 42, out of the top 100 is that's a pretty amazing thing to have. Like, it's first of all, it's the NBA, and everyone is, you're in the NBA, so everyone's a good player, but to be in the top 100 is just another amazing thing. And him being rated 42 means that he's beaten out most of the centers in the league, other than the top notch guys, who most of them are in the top 10. And he definitely deserves to be there, because he's not great offensively in terms of his scoring ability, but he is great offensively in how he runs the floor. And then his defense is just next to none. Like, he's top three in the league for sure in terms of centers and defensive ability. So I think 42 is a great number for him.
Yeah, I agree with you, Callum. I do, however, think that maybe people, like, the judgment on this one and it was kind of based off of his playoff success, because in the playoffs, yeah, he was amazing. And I don't want to take any of that away from him, but, like, in the regular season, I mean, he's only putting up 9 points a game in 25 minutes. Like, you wouldn't think that that's one of the top centers in the league only playing 25 minutes. But like you said, his defense is really good. Obviously, his offensive ability, you know, once you consider his passing and stuff, is next to none, right? I really liked how you said that, next to none. But it's just his IQ. So more than his actual ability, I guess you could say, it's more that this is an IQ rating more than anything, in terms of, like, he's going to be the smartest guy on the court, except for maybe, you know, three or four other guys in the NBA. And, like, we just saw him win the FIBA World Cup with Spain. And after winning the championship with the Raptors, that's a lot on his old man legs. You know what I mean? And, like, he's been doing the World Cup and stuff in the Olympics for, you know, forever, pretty much. But he's never won a championship. So maybe this extra short summer with very little time off is going to tire his legs. But who knows? Maybe he's going to be in even better shape for the start of the season. I don't know. I don't know if that's just me thinking that way. But, yeah. And then ahead of him, in number 41 is Kevin Love, which I think is absurd. I think Kevin Love should be way higher than that. But Kevin Love's ahead of him. And then Paul Millsap and D'Angelo Russell are the guys right behind him. Are you happy with that placement, Callum, sandwiched in between those four?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Love, yeah, he should be higher, but he also shouldn't be, because he didn't have a great season because he was injured for a lot of it.
Yeah, he does have the injury issues. So I do agree with that.
Yeah, Paul Millsap being a role player now in Denver makes sense. D'Angelo Russell, I think D'Lo should have been higher for what he did with the Brooklyn Nets. Like, I mean, there was all that talk about most improved player, but it wasn't. Obviously, it was Siakam, no doubt. But I think he should be higher. He brought a team that was supposed to be complete trash and was kind of the centerpiece of that team, and winning them a bunch of games at the end of the season and bringing them to the playoffs. I think he can be higher. I think Gasol definitely beats out Millsap. I think he can even beat out Kevin Love because of his playoffs. Because Kevin Love was injured. And then at number 40 is Steven Adams. And Steven Adams he had a great season. So I think he stays ahead of Gasol, just because he had a better entire season as opposed to just the playoffs.
Yeah, 100% agree with what you just said there, Cal. Like, Kevin Love should be ahead of him, and Steven Adams also should be ahead of him. Like, it's, you know, that ranking right there, I think is really good. Having Paul Millsap behind him is perfect. Like, Millsap maybe even could have been a little bit ahead of him, maybe, but I still think Gasol, it's that IQ right there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And same thing with Russell. It's the whole IQ there. So overall, you're good with his ranking?
Yeah.
On to the next Cal, and that is Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry is number 28 on this list, which is a very good ranking for him. And, you know, like they said, he's an ideal point guard to play next to a superstar. The only thing is the Raptors, are they going to have a superstar on the team next year to make Kyle Lowry look really good? What do you think about this ranking, Callum?
So I said this as soon as it came out. I really liked that he got 28. But I think he got it because we won the championship, which makes sense. But you go right behind him, and you got, like, Donovan Mitchell, and then you got Luka Doncic, who had an insane rookie season. I think he beats them because he won the championship. But in terms of, like, just, like, I think core, just, like, straight-up player, I think those two could be argued to be ahead of him. But
well, the thing is also, like, you go Donovan Mitchell, you go Luka Doncic at 30, you got DeRozan at 31, McCollum at 32,
yeah, De'Aaron
Fox at 33, Devin Booker at 34. Like, there's six guys that if you put them ahead of Kyle Lowry, I don't know if I would necessarily be angry about it. You know what I mean?
I like, would. If he was 35,
if he was,
and all
no.
those guys were ahead of him, I wouldn't bat an eye.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Right? But then again, you look at this list and you see Chris Middleton right ahead of him. And it's like, well, I might put Chris Middleton behind Kyle Lowry.
No, I don't.
You know what I mean?
I wouldn't put Chris Middleton ahead of any of those guys.
But that's what I'm saying, my guy. Like, that's the thing with this is, like, Kyle Lowry's in a very respectable spot. He's a top 30 player, which I agree with. I agree that he's a top 30 player. It's just his positioning. It makes it look a little weird because his stats aren't gaudy, right? It's not like he's taking on the offensive load of Donovan Mitchell or Luka Doncic or even, you know, CJ McCollum and De'Aaron Fox, right? He's more of that role of the assist maker. He's going to average probably, you know, 16-9 next year or 16-8 next year again or something like that. Which, I mean, isn't bad numbers, but you see those numbers, just the raw numbers, and you see a guy like that in the top 30, guys, people are going to question that. People are going to question that, no doubt. Last year, he had the lowest points per game since 2012-13, basically since joining the Raptors, but he had a career high in assists at 8.8. Might have a bigger offensive load this year. I mean, he already did have a really big offensive load last year, but he might have a bigger offensive load with, you know, no Kawhi on the team, no Danny Green to play off of. We'll see how Siakam kind of gets into that. The thing that I have with him being above, you know, those guys like Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker and CJ McCollum is his defense and his heart and his tenacity, because, you know, Kyle Lowry is going to draw a shit ton of charges every single year. He's going to be the bulldog. He's going to make those hustle plays, and he's going to do the things that not necessarily that those other guys wouldn't do, but he's going to do them better. So to me, it's a respect vote, or it's like a respect position for Kyle Lowry, like you said, with the championship. But it's also a, just like Marc Gasol's was an IQ vote or IQ position, this one's going to be more of a kind of like a respect, because like a hardworking position, if that makes sense.
One of the hardest working guys in the NBA for sure.
And that's not going to change, right? Like he's going to be amazing. He was, you know, like this said, this article points out that he ranked second in the league in assists per game, but 29th in time of possession. His time of possession is going to go way up next year because there's no Kawhi Leonard. Well, presumably it's going to go way up next year because no Kawhi Leonard. We'll see, you know, unless Siakam averages 35 a game or something like that. Mm-hmm. But even, and I think if Siakam does take that really big leap, a big part of that is going to be Kyle Lowry's playmaking. You know what I mean? Like, a big part of that is going to be Kyle Lowry diming or, you know, picking up screens and playing really good defense and getting on the fast break and stuff like that. And that's going to really help out Siakam if he can get there. The only thing is Lowry is older. And like I said, with him kind of, you know, working really hard, we know he got his operation on his thumb earlier this summer. That's why he couldn't play in the USA team. But then even having this really long season and short summer kind of thing, it might play into this fact of, you know, he might take a load off a little bit and let Van Fleet get some run here and there, which, you know, maybe he's not hitting very well and maybe his legs get tired. He's not shooting the three ball as well, but that'll come. If it comes, we'll get there when we get there. So overall, you're happy with that ranking, Cal?
Yeah, I think it's well deserved for him.
So Pascal Siakam is the final guy in our rankings for the Raptors. So as we know, Siakam was the 2018-19 most improved player. And that really shows with the comparison of last year's list to this year's list. Cal, do you remember where Siakam ranked last season on the top 100?
Was he even on it?
Wasn't even on it, my guy.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
He was not on the list. So let's just say Pascal Siakam was 101st. Let's just say that he was. He made a 77-player jump.
At minimum.
77 players. So, obviously, most improved. No doubt about it. Not even close to a doubt in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we're talking about right now. Pascal Siakam is number 24 on the top 100 list. Callum, is this too high or too low for Pascal?
I think it's right on the money. I think when I saw this, I was like, this is a perfect rank. He could have been one spot higher because the guy ahead of him is a fake and a fraud.
He's a punk. He's a punk. He's a fraud.
He's a fraud.
He's the biggest
trash.
This guy's the biggest scam artist in the history of the world. I couldn't even name a bigger. He's a bigger scam artist than the Air Duct cleaning service that calls your damn phone every single night. He's a fraud.
Bigger scam than the Wolf of Wall Street. Like this guy.
He's a fake. He's a phony. He's a Rice-a-roni jabroni, pal. That's what this guy is. He's a fake.
So Siakam at rank 23, not 24. He's ranked 23. I think is perfect. Because you see all the guys ahead of him, you're like, yeah, he hasn't earned that respect yet. Like, he's earned the respect to get number 24, which is great. Like, from going from not on the list to 24 is insane. And getting the most improved player, showing that Kawhi pretty much had a run for his money for, like, the entire season until the playoffs came. That, like this guy was an insane scorer as well as just being super athletic and everything. I think for sure that he deserves to be in that spot.
Well, yeah, man. Like, have you seen the pictures of this guy this offseason? Like, there's been a few pictures that have come out and people are kind of saying that it's like a almost Giannis-esque bulk.
Like he's just bulking up?
Like, yeah, dude, the guy's yoked. And you could even see it a little bit over last season where he was getting stronger and stuff. But that guy looks big, man. He looks big. And the coolest thing about Pascal Siakam to me is last year, he shot 37% from three. The year before, he shot 22. The year before, he shot 14. Last year, he shot 78.5% from the free throw line. The year before that, 62%. The year before that, 68.8. This guy is just getting to be a better shooter. And I don't think he's a stupid guy. I think that he is going into the gym and he's practicing his shooting. He's practicing his off-the-dribble shooting, off-the-catch shooting. And if this guy can shoot 37% from three again this year on, you know, five threes per game instead of 2.7, it's going to be out of control. You're not going to be able to stop this guy. If he gets to the line a few more times than for a game, and he shoots 80%, let's say, and he gets a line at six times a game, that's already over, 22 points a game. 22 points a game for Pascal Siakam, who is also going to be a menace on the defensive end, and he's also going to be a menace on the rebounds. I think Pascal Siakam is ranked perfectly, but at the end of this season, people might say, damn, how did we not have this guy in the top 20? How did we not have this guy over a guy like Kemba Walker, over a guy like Chris Paul, who's old? Because Siakam is only getting better. We know that he's older than a lot of the young guys in the league, a lot of these third-year guys going into their fourth year. He's going to be a really good player this year. He's going to have more touches. He's going to get the ball a lot more. But that also means that the defense is going to focus on him more. But I think he's fine with doing that. He was put up against Joel Embiid in the playoffs. He was put up against the other team's best defender most of the time in the playoffs when it mattered the most. I think Pascal Siakam can go for it. And I think, once again, like, he's going to be an all-star. I think that's almost a lock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, out of anyone on the team, he's probably got the best chance at all NBA, maybe even all defense.
Yeah.
So having Pascal Siakam, where he is right now, he hasn't earned that kind of respect yet in terms of being a top 20 guy. He has never averaged more than 16.9 points per game. He's never averaged 20 points a game. He's never been the man on a team. So I understand why they don't have him higher than 24. However, by the end of this year, people might be saying, wow, how did we not see this coming? How did we not see this guy becoming a absolute dog and being one of the top 20, maybe even top 15 players in the league? That might be a bit of a stretch, but, if he makes all NBA, that's what he is. And once again, like I said, with Ibaka, Gasol, and Lowry, his defense is going to be there. He's going to be one of the main guys on a top, 10 defense in the league, which is firing me up. Absolutely. So we kind of mentioned it a little bit here. The guys behind him are Drew Holiday and Mike Conley. And then we'll throw in Chris Middleton there at number 27 as well, because we know how much we respect that pick. But you think, I think he easily beats out those guys.
Yeah, I think for sure. Conley and Drew are both great point guards, but Siakam did it, man. He did the most. This guy was most improved for a reason. For as little as Kawhi did in the regular season, Siakam
made
pieces.
Up for it. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we already know how we feel about Ben Simmons being ahead of him.
Who?
So we'll go to the next two ahead of him. That's Brad Beal. We'll do three ahead of him. Brad Beal, Chris Paul, and Kemba Walker. Could you see him being ahead of those guys?
Like I said before, I think it's just because it's the respect. It's the he hasn't reached that level. Those are household names. Kemba Walker, Chris Paul, Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal's going to have an insane season. This guy's going to...
This guy's going to average a million points, man.
This guy's going to be shooting 40 a game. He's going to be the only person on a trash team, and he's actually a really good player. And so, yeah, and I think he has the experience over Siakam. And same with Chris Paul. He is obviously one of the best floor runners in the league, one of the best passers too. He is getting old though and injury prone. I think he's definitely on the way down. Siakam can definitely beat him out this year. Kemba, we'll have to see, because he did some work on Charlotte, but Charlotte, again, he was a really good player on a shit team. So I think we'll have to see what he does on Boston, but he can beat those guys out this year. For now, I think it's fair to be behind them, because like I said, respect on the name of those guys, they earn the respect for a reason. They're all amazing players.
Yeah, I agree with that. wholeheartedly. I'm not exactly sure if, you know, he deserves it quite yet, like I said. But, I mean, he was really good in the playoffs. And I think that we did, you know, so that's all I have to say really about Pascal Siakam. But I do want to kind of get into one guy that I think should be on this list, maybe. Do you know who I'm talking about? Do you have maybe an idea?
Fred. Yeah.
I think Van Fleet should be on this list.
Yeah, I could definitely. Okay. Bro, why the hell is Andrew Wiggins on there? God, that guy's a. That should be where Ben Simmons is at number 100.
Bro.
And Wiggins. And Wiggins, this guy shouldn't even be in the NBA franchise. Like, this guy's trash.
Maple Jordan, bro. Maple Jordan, bro. Come on.
Bro, we got Chris Boucher now. Like, get out of here, Wiggins. Like, nah. Fred VanVleet, better than Wiggins. T-Ross, definitely more influential than T-Ross. DeAndre Jordan, I think DeAndre Jordan should be higher than that. Jared Allen should be higher than that. Kyle Kuzma should be higher than that. Joe Harris, that's a fair, like, he should be around there. Like, he's kind of like the Joe Harris, you know, like.
Yeah, like the low grades are where I think they kind of screwed up. Like, they got to 75 and we're just like, random. Who's the next guy on this list?
Like. Danny Green. I mean, okay, to be fair, he had a very bad playoffs, but I think he should be higher than 89. This guy had an insane season.
Yeah.
He should definitely be higher than JV.
I don't know, man. I don't know. JV's going to have a good year. Good year.
He's still got to take stats into account. Jeff Teague, nah. Get him out of here.
Like, Fred VanVleet should be at least 95, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think he should.
I got it. My man got a Finals MVP vote. Finals MVP vote. And this guy had one of the coldest shots I've ever seen in my whole life in Game 6.
Yeah, this guy. The dagger. Silenced the craziest crowd in the league.
Also, one of the dopest pictures that the sports world has brought of him just lying down with blood running down his face.
Oh my God. And just him smiling with no teeth.
Yeah. that guy has influenced basketball more than he coughed Steph Curry, bro. He shut that man down.
Bro, he was the only player in the league who could stop Steph Curry.
This guy couldn't stop Michael Jordan, bro, for sure.
You're telling me Bam Adebayo, because he dunked a couple times, is better than him? Bro, get out of here. DeJounte Murray, okay. Losing the first round again, pal.
We got to start a petition to put Fred VanVleet in the SI Top 100.
True.
For real, bro, for real. That guy deserves it. Finals MVP vote. How many finals MVP votes combined are there in the top, in like the bottom, 50. The bottom 20?
Yeah, in the bottom 50.
Yeah.
Let me see. Like, I'm already at 80. There's zero.
None.
75. Nope. Zero. Keep going. 70. There's still nobody.
How many? None. Fred VanVleet did that last year.
I'm at 65, and there's not a single one.
And Fred VanVleet's going to be in a contract year this year. You think that guy's not going to be balling his brains out to try to? Because remember, his whole thing was bet on yourself so that he can get paid for, you know, a big contract.
Mm-hmm.
This is his time to get that big contract. There's no time better than right now to get his big contract. He might even be trying to outplay Kyle Lowry, tell Masai Ujiri, get Kyle Lowry the F out of here. I'm your new starting point guard.
It could happen.
That's what I'm saying. This is a big season for the guy. This is a big season for the guy. Not having him on this list. Finals MVP vote.
That's only reason he sucked was because he had a child. Then as soon as that happened, his dad mode kicked in and he just went off. This guy's
probably been doing dirty things all summer long. Right? This guy's
gonna have another kid.
I need the finals. I need the MVP. I need the MVP.
This is a contract year. I need another child.
Yeah, I didn't think I was gonna get this fired up during this podcast. I didn't think I was, but I did.
Fred VanVleet will do that to you.
Yeah, literally, man. Literally. I'm gonna wear that Fred VanVleet hoodie until he's put on this list every single day of my life. It's gonna be 45 degrees next summer because of climate change. I'm gonna be rocking that hoodie, sweating my balls off because of Fred VanVleet. That is why. All right, dude. I think that is enough of us talking. Fred VanVleet should be on the top 100. I think that's obvious. Got a finals MVP vote. But overall, I think we both liked, relatively speaking, liked where each of these guys were ranked. I know, you know, we had our few gripes with it, but it wasn't a big deal. But anyways, Callum, my man, as always, great talking to you, my guy. And we will get back on this next week. Easy.